All right, so I'm in another city again. I don't know what this is about, but anyway, while I'm here, I can kill two birds with one stone. So I set out to reverse engineer the devil's system, you know, which I really didn't have to, but it was interesting. I tried to reverse it. You know, it's confusion in every evil work. You know, we know the devil's system is the world, the flesh, and the prior life, the cube. God made the cube so the flesh mind would understand what it's in. Like, they say karma's going to get you. The flesh only understands the flesh. So to live down here, God had to create an environment that the flesh creatures could understand and the spiritual creatures would understand. So when you move past the flesh mind, which is nothing but fighting and bitterness and selfish and unforgiveness and living in the past. You know, a lot of people live in the past, you know. And it's a program. The people who are narcissists, they want you to live in the past. That way they control you. If you can't forgive a narcissist, they control you. If you can't forgive a sociopath or a psychopath, they control you. And so the devil wants you to live in the past. Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, he presses on, looking ahead, not looking behind. You got to forget the past. But if you hang on to the past, you're not going to grow. You're not going to grow. In the last audio, I did talked about how you can't be somebody's savior. You try to save somebody, you can't do it. You can't do pride wars with somebody. And something else I said, I forgot right now. But you can't live in the, another one is you can't live in the past. You can't live in the past. And let's say somebody got over on you, whether they stole your property, whatever it is, they got over on you, right? Now, you can learn from that and recoup that really fast if you want to. But if you want to live in the past, try to get revenge, all that, you're never going to be free. Romans 12 says, 12:21, overcome, repay not evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. Take not vengeance. Don't take vengeance, for the Lord will repay. The more you try to be God and fix people and fix situations that are out of your control, the more bitter and the more you're spinning your wheels. You can't do it. You can't be God. You can only control yourself, your free will. You have a free will. You can't force another person to do right. You can't force your wife to submit. I know, because I tried. You can't force your wife to obey. So you better get to know her before you marry her. Because if she's... And here's how you might say, well, how do I know if she's going to obey? Well, the way you do it is you watch. Does she obey her dad? Does she obey her mother? Does she, you know, when she's younger, did she obey? Let's say you get ready to marry a woman. You're going to marry a woman. She's living with her mom or her dad or somebody. Does she obey her boss? Does she complain about her boss's authority? She has authority over her before you marry her. So you look at her response to authority. Does she complain about the authority of the corporation she's under? Does she complain about the authority of the organization that she's under? Does she try to run from authority? Is she trying to hide from authority? You can look at her actions before you marry her, how she treats others who are in authority and how she's going to treat you. Does she throw her friends under the bus? When you go to a restaurant, how does she treat the waiter or the waitress? the character never changes. And I had a stepmother, she said, the way they treat others is the way they're going to treat you. If they're lying to other people, they're going to lie to you. If they're scamming other people, they're going to scam you. If they're trying to get over on other people, they're going to try to get over on you. They can't change their character. The spots on a leopard don't change. It's a fractal hologram. It's encoded in the character of the person. And now, God can change them, but he's going to have to break them. They're going to have to be broken. And it's true for a saved woman. If you want to marry a man, you got to watch his how he treats, how he listens to authority. He's how he treats, if he's a boss over somebody, how he treats his employees. You look at the fractal. The way they treat others, the way they'll treat you. If he's a boss over somebody, or if let's say he's got an animal, the way he treats his animal, the animals. An evil man treats an animal bad. A good man's going to treat an animal good. It's just an animal, but he still has compassion on that animal, that beast. The way somebody treats others is how they're going to treat you. It's not a maybe, it's absolute. If a woman's divorced, she's bad-mouthing her ex all the time. I mean, all the time. Blaming, not taking any responsibility for making the wrong choice, but blaming the ex. Then they're going to blame you. They take no responsibility. They're going to blame you. We can all say that the narcissist was evil, and we know that. But why did we overlook the red? We wanted it. Why did we overlook the red? There's always a red flag. Why did we overlook the red flag of the narcissist? Because we wanted it. So God gives you what you want. You want to eat rocks? You're going to eat rocks. Gravel. If you want a gravel pie, you're going to get a gravel pie. And so you really can't blame. The narcissist gave you the fake reality that you wanted. And so a lot of times people have to realize that they are part of the problem, but most people don't want to admit it. If we're all born in sin, then we all have issues. What's her name? What was her lady's name? Elizabeth Elliot. She said one time, she said she had a show for women, you know? And she was on BBN, and she had like a 15-minute broadcast, and I tried to get my ex to listen to it. She wouldn't listen to it. But I wanted to listen to her before I gave, you know, before I refer somebody, I want to make sure they're in sound off. But here's what Elizabeth Elliot said. She said she was the one who married that guy who was a missionary, and he got killed over there with the headhunters. But anyway, she said, now think about it. She married that missionary who got killed to the headhunters, and she was actually a missionary too. And she said this comment, married to two other saved guys. The first one died, the second one died. I don't know if the third one died. It's kind of suspect if the third one dies. But anyway, you never know. It could have been a big show. But here's what she said. She said two sinners get in the same house, living under the same roof. That's kind of rough, ain't it? Think about that. Two sinners in the same house. Meaning, what I'm trying to get at is everybody's in a growth process, but if you get involved with a narcissist, they're not going to grow, and they're never going to admit they're wrong. They can't see their own sin. They can't admit wrong. If you ever married one of them, Trouble with a capital T. Trouble. Trouble, trouble, trouble. They're actually so crazy that they can't admit they did wrong. They're so crazy that you just can't, you can't live with that kind of person. Even if the preacher says, you gotta stay married. How can you live with a psychopath, narcissist? You can't. It's impossible. They change, how, you want truth. The narcissist wants gaslighting, fake reality, lies. They want to live in a lie. Their cult that they're trying to create is based on lies. You want to live in truth. How can the two meet? They can be religious. They can actually be going to church. They can be going to a fundamental church, and they can still be a narcissist, liar. You know, it's all about image. You know. I was raised in church. I was born. They can know their Bible. But if they never got born again, if they never had an experience where they fell down on their face, said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. Save me, Lord. If they never had that experience, it ain't gonna work. You can't yoke up with the light and the dark can't yoke up. It just don't work. You can try to make it work, but you're spinning your wheels, you know? Spinning your wheels. So there's no other drivers on the road because they're afraid of the coronavirus. So I guess that's why I'm being pulled all over the place. It's a trip. The whole world's living in fear. The saved people see through it. It's just another flu bug. And the whole world is living in fear. If you do get it, go down to the Walgreens and get you some Mucinex. I think that's how you say it. Mucinex. Start off with 100 milligrams and take 100 milligrams and sneeze it out. That stuff works. Do you think Adam and Eve were afraid of a pandemic? I don't think so. Think about this. How did the Navy ship that was out on the ocean by themselves get the coronavirus? Come on now. How did the Navy ship that was out in the middle of the ocean get the coronavirus? Hello? That's why the Navy got so mad, I think, because they're exposing it that it wasn't, that it's something else. It's either 5G or something else going on. How did the Navy ship out in the middle of the ocean get the coronavirus? Somebody answer that one. Somebody answer that. One of my riders told me that. I said, yeah, I thought about it for a split second. I didn't hold that thought, but yeah, you're right. How did they get it? And I took him to another city and we were talking and he's blind and he works for the industry of the blind. And evidently he has enough time to, if he's blind, he's probably just doing a lot of thinking, you know? And he put the puzzle pieces together and he said the last time there was a pandemic, 1918 or whatever, that's when they invented the telegraph or the radio or something like that. He said the next time we had a major sickness, they invented the radar. And so I guess the body has to get used to these new frequencies. 5G, the body has to get used to it, I guess. And they say over there in the Wuhan that they were doing 5G stuff. How did the Navy ship get the coronavirus out in the middle of the ocean? Somebody asked. Somebody.